The United States of America Federal Reserve note, the $1 bill, is in front of my eyes right now. And as I look at it, I don't think I hadn't really perceived it the same way, that this is filled with magical symbols that are supposed to make me trust it, even though in and of itself it is valueless. And some of those symbols are, and walk us through them on the back, would you?
Okay. Well, one of the things I want you to notice is how many times the word one or the number one appears. And, of course, it's the $1 bill, but if you look at other bills, like a $5 bill, it doesn't say five on it nearly as much as this says one. And the idea is it's expressed in the motto that's written on the banner that the eagle is holding on the back of the dollar bill. He's holding it in his mouth. And it says, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. And they're saying that we, as the people of the United States, are one. We're unified as a whole. And they wanted, when they put this on the dollar bill, they wanted us to, subconsciously internalize that. That it's part of trusting the dollar and trusting the dollar as an institution, America as an institution. You have to feel that you are part of the unified whole. And that's even symbolized with the pyramid on the back. The people who designed the Great Seal of the United States, which that's from, they said that the pyramid represents unified individuals, unified into this one structure, and then under the all-seeing eye of God.
Well, and I'm looking at the back of a 5 and a 10 and a 20, and you're right. The dollar bill has won more than twice as many times on the back than the other currencies do. Which is weird. Then the other ones say 5 or 10 half as many times as the $1 bill says 1 on the back. All right. Now that brings us to the pyramid, which is the back of the Great Seal of the United States.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The Great Seal was designed in 1776, right at the beginning, and they created metal dies so that they could use this seal on official documents, but they only actually they designed a die for the back, which is the pyramid, but they never actually created it until like 100 years later, and no one even knew there really was a back of the seal until the dollar bill came out, and it has it right there. And it's interesting that they're reversed. You would think the front would be on the left, and then the back would be on the right, but that was the way it was initially designed. But President Roosevelt himself asked that it be switched around. He thought that the all-seeing eye over the pyramid was a much more arresting image and much more important. So he felt like it should be put on the left, you know, just the way your eye reads from left to right.
So Roosevelt wanted to move the pyramid to the left so that we saw that first, and then the eagle, the one we most commonly associate with the United States, second. That's powerful symbolism. Now, why the Inuit Kepis?
Inuit Kepis. Well, it's slightly altered, but it's a quote from Virgil in the Aeneid, and it means God favors our undertaking. And they're talking about the undertaking of creating the United States, and you know, they were basically invoking God's assistance and declaring that God approved of what they were doing. And then putting this on the Great Seal and then on the back of the dollar bill, that reinforces that for the citizens using the dollar bill, they you know, subconsciously internalize that, and they believe that they're part of a nation that has been approved of officially by God.
The manifest destiny idea. But I think this is very key, that they could have put God, they could have said God favors our undertaking. They could have used that in Latin, right? They could have said Deus. But instead, they just leave it in the generic he. And it's an implication, and especially if you go back to the original quote, what is it, all-powerful Jupiter, he approves our undertaking. And that's different. I mean, so if we really look at it as being a quote from Virgil, you could even say that that actually is back a reference to Jupiter. Not, it doesn't specify God, and they could have very easily have specified God.
Well, you know, yeah, I guess, and yeah, it's always been interpreted as being God because it is ambiguous in the Latin that's on the Great Seal. But if you think about omnipotent Jupiter, the way the Romans would have seen him, it's basically he was the all-powerful God. And a lot of mythologists would agree that the Judeo-Christian God, Jehovah, is essentially the same as Jupiter, or they called him Jove, and so it's basically the same figure.
I can see that, but there's a difference between a one god and the god of gods in the case of Jupiter, and also because, and I this is something I gleaned from your book, is that there may have been other gods essentially in the Masonic pantheon, and I want to talk about Baphomet and some of the Knights Templar references that might be popping up from that, because we just have the eye in the top of the pyramid, which I know we've talked about, you know, on Coast to Coast before, but it doesn't really, it could say God, but it doesn't.
Right.
And instead, and what we have in the pyramid is then the beginning of a series of repetitions of 13s. Can you talk about the 13s on the back of the dollar bill?
Right. Okay. Well, I'll just list them off for you. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yep.
Okay, there's the pyramid has 13 layers if you don't count the eye on the top. The eagle is holding 13 leaves on an olive branch in one hand, in one talon, rather, 13 arrows in the other. And then he's got a constellation of 13 stars over his head. There's 13 horizontal divisions on the eagle's shield and 13 vertical ones. And then the motto, E Pluribus Unum, has 13 letters. So does Annuate Coeptus. And what else here? Oh, on the front, at the base of the portrait of George Washington, on each side, there's 8 leaves and 5 berries, which adds up to 13. And then, the stars on the chevron on the seal of the Treasury Department, also 13. And then this one's a bit more complicated, but if you take all of the words that are permanently featured on the bill, I'm not talking about the signature of the treasurer or anything like that, but the
none of the
words,
none of the transient names, but all the permanent ones, the ones that appear on all of them.
Yeah, so like Federal Reserve Note, the United States of America, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, Washington, D.C., 1, Treasurer of the United States, Secretary of the Treasury, $1, and Washington. And you add up the number of letters, it's 169, which is 13 squared. So I think they definitely wanted us to get the idea of 13, whatever that is.
Right, and then 13 13s on the back, too. Right?
Yeah, yeah. If you count up all the...
All the references to 13...
There's 13.
There are 13 13s on the back, or 169 again. Now, that could be a coincidence, but that's a freaky weird coincidence.
It's definitely not a coincidence. And, they admitted that 13 had a significance, and they always said, you know, it has to do with the number of colonies that we had originally. And, I just think that, you know, the occult idea that's behind 13 was there from the very beginning. Now, it's a very difficult thing to explain, but, 13 was important to the Knights Templar. It represented their, blasphemous idol Baphomet, which I guess we'll talk about in a minute. Also, the alchemical process is said to have 13 steps to it. And in many ways, 13 is this number of transformation. It's, if you think of the tarot deck, the 13th card is always death. And the tarot reader will always tell you, that doesn't represent death, it represents transformation. And I think that is the idea behind 13, the idea of magically conjuring something, transforming something. And that's, I think, why it was used on the dollar bill, and also throughout all sorts of official government things that the United States has done.